glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Welcome to Mark and Friends for Thursday, February 1st, 2024. I'm your friend, Donna Leland, and we welcome back our friend, Debbie Griffith of Everyday Matters. Welcome, Debbie.
Hi, Donna. It's so always good to hear your voice and talk with you and share the goodness of who God is and who God is in His Word, because He is the Word.
He is, and I'm enjoying your little downloads, your Everyday Matters, but also you write up a little piece that I think I'm getting over Facebook. Where you post as well?
I share the vignettes and transcripts of Everyday Matters that people hear on the radio, which is the one-minute feature, and then I share it through social media, Instagram, Facebook. It's maybe not every single day, but pretty consistent of just that same encouragement, sharing a picture, because pictures, you know, draw people in and communicate a lot, and then taking an everyday situation and applying it to God's living word.
So what else is Debbie Griffith doing these days?
Well, I think one of the things that we had shared with each other before that, you know, having a large family, inevitably you're going to get maybe one like yourself, and that would be our second son of four, Peter. He's strong-willed. I'm strong-willed. And so he was the most challenging one for me. And I don't know if that's the case with you, but the things that really bothered me about him were things that I could probably say, well, not probably, things that irritate me about me.
Me too.
And so you see it in that child and you want to fix it or help them, which is really you want to fix and help yourself. But the only way to do that is just to surrender and humble yourself to God and then give that child to him too. So he ended up going to, he enrolled in the Navy, the U.S. Navy, and he was there for a five-year commitment, and now he's out. And he did it in part for the education, and he hasn't decided on school or anything yet, so he's working at a position as a security guard while he kind of navigates. But he's not at home, and when he finished with the Navy, he lived here for a little over 6 months, and I can tell you, when he was ready to fly, I was ready to add some extra gust of wind to send him on his way as well. So there you go.
Now, I know my listeners aren't going to believe this, but my strong will is my Rebecca. And so as she was coming up, oh my, did we ever butt heads? And she looks back on that now and she says, Mom, almost saying, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry I was so strong willed. And I think back and I think I would have done it differently. Maybe she had to be so strong will because she never did get her will. She was monkey in the middle.
Right.
And so I think she did feel overlooked. And, you know, everybody else was probably getting first picks on the donuts or whatever. That's just how they feel. Maybe it wasn't true, but that's how she felt, was, I'm sure, overlooked. And in competition with her older sister, who was only 18 months older than her, living in her shadow, and I don't know. They just have to find their little place and space and voice. And I feel like that's my story. Overlooked, monkey in the middle, third girl on a farm.
Okay.
Like, really? We need another one?
Yeah.
You know, come on, where's the boy? So I feel like that plays into it.
I know my friend Tim is really interested or inquisitive about birth order. And I'm a firstborn. So that kind of fits, that firstborns are often the strong will take control. But Peter is my second child. So, you know, there's all these different ways you can look at it. But when you have two strong-willed people living in the same home, but one's the mom who has this title of you respect and obey because I'm your mom, not because you feel it's fair or not fair. I'm not asking you what you feel. I'm asking you to obey, which, you know, of course, is what God says to us. Like, well, I feel this. Well, that's good for you, but I know best because I'm God and you're not. And this is the way. This is the way to go. This is the way to walk. And I think, Donna, the whole thing with the beginning of time, that's the very thing the enemy was trying to say. You can be God. You can make your way. You know best. You're a good person. We can try that, and we can travel that road for a while, but it's never going to bring us the peace that we need and desire. It's never going to bring us the best, because God's way is best, not ours.
That's so true. Now, I don't know if my audience is going to judge me on this one, Debbie, but I am going to come clean. And
okay.
Tell you of a little experiment that I did once to my little strong will. And that girl, she just, you know, wanted to rule the world. Well,
right.
We went on a field trip with my other girlfriend and her child to the botanical gardens. So we were just walking around having a great day, but it seemed like every way we wanted to go, Rebecca wanted to go the other way. And she never wanted to go along with the gang. And this was just going on and on and on. And so, you know what? I said, Lord, I think today's the day. I think it is. Because I looked around with me and all I saw were, you know, rich North Shore old people, you know? And that's was at the Botanical Gardens, you know, and maybe some homeschoolers or mom with strollers. So it looked pretty safe. And I was thinking, you know, I don't think the kid is going to get kidnapped, because I don't think any of these people want her. So
that's funny.
I said, well, Lord, okay. I said, Becca, we're going this way. And she didn't want to go that way. So I said, we're going this way. And so we all began to walk, and she did not follow me. She stayed right where she was and actually went the other way.
Wow.
And I'm like, okay, we're going to see what happens here. My girlfriend was freaking out. Like, you know, what do you think you're doing? Go back and get that kid. I'm like, nope.
Right.
She wants to go that way. So she went her own way, and she sat on a bench with an elderly woman next to her. And the elderly woman said, are you lost? And she said, no, I know where I am.
That's
probably
funny.
Thinking my mom's lost, you know.
Right.
And so she sat there for a while. I don't know, probably maybe 15 minutes. I mean, it was as much as I could handle. And then we did double back, and we found her on the bench. And she came back, and it was like, you know what? A little bit more, like, I'm going to go with the plan. Now, next time I have Rebecca on, I think I want to get her side of that story and see if she was completely traumatized. But it was just
That's funny.
One of those moments I thought, you know, Lord, I think it's time. And I think he does that with us. You know, we're in a safe place. And, well, yeah, every moment when I want to go my own way, he's doing that same thing with me. And he gives us that option. Now, you've got a really cool story about your son, Peter.
So Peter decided after high school to take like 2 years. Well, maybe he thought 1 year, but it ended up being 2 years just to figure out what he wanted to do next. And if you don't want, or if you don't really have an idea of college or what you want to do with that degree, then it's really not the best decision just to go to college to you know, incur a lot of debt and student loans. And especially if you have parents that aren't just funding this because, oh, here's something you can do. So Peter went into the U.S. Navy, and it was a struggle for him. Academically, he just had always struggled. And so for him to go through boot camp and all the things that entail with that, that was amazing. So he gets his position on the ship in Norfolk, Virginia, a warship, and his strong will, his personality, all of that are very positive things. He's engaging with people. He's a connector. And those are things that are similar to me. So those are good things. The not so good things is when it's our way or the highway, or we know that we're right. And so I always say this to people when you're in an argument, do you want to do right or be right? Because you may be right, but doing right is to let it go and not win the argument, because you may win the argument but lose the relationship. So ask yourself, is it worth it? So Peter has this will, and one really wonderful thing is that the boys did see this consistency in my life of reading the Bible and memorizing scripture. So I'd put it on post-it notes on the refrigerator or in the bathroom mirror or in the family van. And I would just take the time. As it doesn't matter how long it takes, as long as it takes. You know, we think, oh, we can't memorize scripture. But if you just write a line of one particular verse and memorize that line and add the next line, you can do it, because God wants you to know him, and it's a relationship. So Peter had seen that through the way my husband and I parented. It was more of a, you get to go to church, not you have to go to church. Of course, when they're little, you're like screaming, get in the van, and you fight all the way there. I mean, we all can, you know, identify that with large families on a Sunday morning. But I think the boys began to learn it wasn't about performance. It was about like performative goodness, but the goodness that God gives us and his grace, you know, teaching that. And Pete then began to have on his phone, when they were on the ship out at sea, the verse of the day. And he would just go walk up and down the ship and at various times throughout the day, just say out loud, verse of the day. We'll say it's, you know, Romans 8:28, verse of the day, Romans 8:28. For we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, and he's called them for a purpose. Romans 8:28. And so he would do this, you know, consistently. And one day he thought, you know, no one says anything either way. So I don't know, maybe it's just, it's not the thing to do anymore, and I'll just stop doing it. So he stopped doing it. It was only 2 days. The second day, a sailor comes up to him and they say, hey, Griffith, what's going on? And Pete's like, what? And they're like, verse of the day. Where's the verse of the day? You want the verse of the day? Well, yeah, want the verse of the day. And he's like, oh, okay. A little bit later, you know, time goes on. Another sailor comes up and says, what the, you know, blankety blank is going on? Where's the verse of the day? I want the verse of the day. And Pete's like, you want the verse of the day? I want the verse of the day. You know, you're messing everyone up. And so, you know, okay. So then that night in the little, you know, cubbies that they sleep in on the ship, he had this sailor come up to him and say, you know, Griffith, I don't know even if there's a God, but I know that something changes when you read the verse of the day. There's something to it. And I just want to say thank you and keep doing it. So I just think, you know, so what, you know, you tie that strong will into it. It's also just that sometimes the strong will gives you this confidence. Like, I think this is a good thing to do. I'm just going to go with it, do it. I'm not going to, you know, overthink it. And that can be the positive of people like you, Donna, myself. We're strong will. And so sometimes we don't think it through. We just get up and do it because we have that strong personality.
That's amazing. Using that for good, and you can just so see it in his life.
It meant a lot that, too, that it was God's word. It wasn't just like, here's a good saying, or here's what, you know, because there's lots of, you know, C.S. Lewis says this, or Tozer says this, you know, whatever. But this was just actual scripture verses.
I think my Rebecca, she's got that as well, just her strong will to go forward and do the right thing. She was in a young person's group, and it just, something was off, you know? Nobody was talking to anybody, and there was a mean girl group in it. I mean, it was weird. And so she decided, you know, Lord, I'm just going to be myself, my connecting self. And she did. She went in and turned around the atmosphere. And I was just so proud of her because, you know, she has a strong will, and she had confidence. And just moved in, and good things happened.
Yeah, that's such a encouragement, I hope, to those of you listening that have strong-willed children. God isn't unaware of the struggle that it can be. And he's also aware of how he made that child and how he made you, and that he wants to use all of it for the good, for his glory, for your peace that passes understanding. We may not understand why, but he always has a way. And I just have to tell myself that sometimes, because your feelings can be pretty strong. And there's times where I totally did not handle it well. as a mom of a strong willed. I mean, I would just revert to his age sometimes at 12 years old, and I'd, you know, fight like his sister, not the mom. So, you know, I'm not wearing a badge of I did it all right with a strong willed child, but God, you know, preserved and helped me and gave me, you know, that place where you can come to him for his grace and say, I'm sorry, I need you. Mm-hmm. And so that's a powerful thing is calling out to God. He's not unaware. He's not expecting you to do everything right and all things good and perfectly, because the deal is, it's not about that we are good, that he loves us. It's because he is good. Mm-hmm. It's about him. And I think that's something we get. It's we know it, but do we really live it out? Do we really trust that God, instead of asking God in a prayer, I pray that I get this job, I pray that I get this job, rather than saying and asking God, God, is this your will? Is this your way for me to have this job? We are so sure sometimes that, well, certainly this good thing, God would want it for me. And when it doesn't happen, then we're like, well, God, why? And he still will always continually tell us, it's not about what you feel or think or see, because I am the God of all things. I see the tapestry in the back, you know, all the, or I see the woven, you know, beautiful outside of the tapestry, whereas you're just seeing all the threads and, you know, all the colors mixed up, but I know what it looks like, you know, flipped over. And that's a vision or a image that helps me think, okay, I have to choose to think on it and choose to trust him, because my feelings aren't always going to match up with what is true.
Mm. Now, even you've had challenges within your own ministry, your Everyday Matters ministry. And there were times when just some discouragement would come into your world, but you knew in your heart that you were supposed to do Everyday Matters. You knew you had something to say. You stuck with it. And I just think that's the strong will.
Yeah, that's a really good insight, Donna. And it is perseverance, is what I would call it. I just was talking to our third son, Joey, who's at home right now, and he is 24. And I was just sharing with him about some rejection, rejection within the ministry just recently, and a station saying, you know, we're going to discontinue playing the feature, and because we're, you know, they're when they especially get a new program director station, he wants to make his stamp of, okay, we're taking these out, putting these in. And it was just really discouraging to me. And I shared something else, and my son said, I didn't know any of that, Mom. Mm-hmm. And I said, Joe, I've been doing the Ministry of Everyday Matters. The radio began in 2006 and speaking became available to me in 2007. And I said, I've had so many no's, so many no thank yous, so many don't call us, we'll call you. The thing that brings you success is trusting God that he has called you and not giving up. It is just basic, not giving up, perseverance. And yet, I think of Galatians where it says, do not grow weary in doing good, for at the right time, you will reap a harvest if you don't give up.
Yeah, that's a great word, Debbie. That is so good for people who maybe are just right there on that cusp of, you know, God, I tried and I'm just hitting walls. And, you know, just take a breath and say, okay, Lord, handing it back over to you. Maybe I was in the driver's seat there for a while. Maybe I was the one in command of the keyboard, but going to trust you on this.
Yeah, and trust, and then the not giving up, the persevering. I found out that the word perseverance, the Greek word, it means, or the translation of it means to remain under. Mm. So to remain under God. So if you think about, you know, don't grow weary in doing good, persevere, keep going. Don't, you know, be surprised at the trials as if something strange is happening, but be glad and persevere, because after perseverance, which means to remain under God, has finished its work, you'll be mature and complete, not lacking anything.
What a promise. So, so beautiful. Well, Debbie, our time has come to the end too quickly, as always, but I just really appreciate your heart And again, Debbie Griffith is the host of Everyday Matters.
Thank you so much, Donna, again, for having me, letting me share. I am so encouraged by your encouragement to me, and then being able to share that with listeners, that hope of not giving up, persevering. And if you'd like more encouragement on what I'm sharing, you can go to my website, which is my name, debbiegriffith.com. You can find out more about the radio, Everyday Matters, and a book that I have written that you might be interested with reading and being encouraged. So thank you so much, Donna.
And the name of that book is?
So the book that you can check out is called Orange is the New Blessing, From Busted to Blessings. And it's a collection of stories on how God is always good, even when we're not. Nothing is wasted with Him. He's a redeemer.
Thanks for listening to Mark and Friends, a ministry of the WLUJ family of stations and Great News Media.
Like a foolish dreamer trying to build a highway to the sky, all my hopes would come tumbling down, and I never knew just why. Till today, when you pulled away the clouds that hung like curtains on my eyes. Well, I've been blind all these wasted years, and I thought I was so wise, but then you took me by surprise. Like waking up from the searching for that crazy missing part, and with one touch you just rolled away the stone that held my heart. And now I see that the answer was as easy as just asking you in, and I am so sure I could never doubt your gentle touch again. It's like